This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Chris Eliopoulos and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers, and welcome back to the Dean of Disney, Mr. Mike Scopa, as always. Hello, Michael.
Happy Thanksgiving, Chris.
I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Yes, we're going to pretend this is Friday.
Right.
With us is a returning champion, Michelle Scribner. Welcome back, Michelle.
Well, guys, there have been some FCC complaints. I've been asked to come back and make sure things are okay here at the podcast. So,
gonna round us up and
I'm just sort of overseeing to make sure that.
What complaints?
FCC.
Federal Communications Commission.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said FDIC. Okay.
Yeah, Securities and Exchange Commission is.
There also been the FAA. The FAA is down the street from us. Yeah. So the FAA has complained too. So you
I'm
got
sure.
all the complaints.
They get all.
So
the
I'm
complaints.
Just back here to make sure you guys are, you know, holding the standards to the Mickey Miles podcast.
Well, I'm sure most people have missed you being on here, so thank you for coming back. I hear we have a big day planned for us. Mike has got a whole thing set up, so maybe we should get
He's
moving
gonna
quick.
Scroll. He's going to unscroll.
Yeah.
Well, lots of stuff, but...
On the papyrus.
The
lots
papyrus?
Of stuff, and I had to pare it down for time restraints, because of time constraints, but I thought I'd pick the points that I think most of our listeners would be interested to find out. One of the things that I found out this week is that the Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind was awarded the Themed Entertainment Association Award for Outstanding Achievement. This is an internationally known organization that deals with theme parks and everything. The attraction was awarded for its immersive approach and storytelling. And although there are words that say it's the first reverse launch roller coaster and first omni coaster ride system where vehicles make controlled rotation, I do believe that Spaceship Earth has an omni ride system that, you know how when you come to the top of Spaceship Earth and you turn around and you go backwards, but this one is the first launch roller coaster that has a ride system.
I don't know about you, but I wouldn't consider Spaceship Earth a roller coaster.
Right, exactly. But it's a
maybe for Mike.
Yeah, for me it is.
That's as fast as he goes.
Actually, it's too fast sometimes. But yeah, so that attraction's been getting a lot of attention.
Can I add something?
Sure.
So if you look at the great show on Disney Plus called Behind the Attraction, the one that was produced by The Rock. It's a great show. The episode on Epcot actually goes into the development of that ride in detail. So you get to see what the inside of the ride looks like. And the two main engineers both rode it more than 500 times. They said they had 300 tracks of music that they listened to decide which one. It's a great episode. I'd love an episode just on behind the scenes. I know you and I have very different opinions about that ride. I would easily go on it 500 times. Mike was one and done, but it is, you have to recognize it is pretty innovative, I think, what they did there.
Yeah. I'm sure it's very popular with a lot of people.
I'm sure it is. But here's the thing though. I mean, it's the first, not the first, but it's one of the newest ones that started in Disney World, right? We don't have that ride anywhere else. Whereas we've seen like Tron come over from somewhere else and they're bringing rides from other parks. So, that's nice.
Good point. Yeah, they said the Universe of Energy wasn't big enough. They had to add I think it's the biggest companion building to an attraction in all of Disney World.
So. I think it's the largest indoor roller coaster attraction that is specifically built for that roller coaster. You can say, well, when you go to the Mall of America, that's a big building, but.
And also what I didn't recognize until I saw this episode is that they were trying to make connections with science and energy with the Big Bang. They kind of decided that the Big Bang was going to be the thing that they sort of connected to the old universe of energy.
Right.
And it, you know, it happens at the beginning of that ride where there's the Big Bang. So it didn't even occur to me that they do that on Ellen's Energy Adventure, the whole Big Bang yep. part of it. So it's cool.
You don't remember that part? I remember that part.
No, I do. I just didn't, when I saw it on Guardians, I didn't say,
Oh, you didn't make the connection.
Did you?
I haven't gone on the ride yet. So I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
I haven't been down there in a year since before it opened. But well, what's funny is I even just read recently that the James Webb Telescope is proving that maybe the Big Bang theory is incorrect. That they're finding galaxies that are older than what we thought was the beginning of the universe. So they have to redo the ride now. They got it wrong. Science. All right, Mike, what else is going on?
Well, 'tis the season. And on this Sunday, I'm talking about Sunday the 26th. We'll be able to see the Wonderful World of Disney Magical Holiday Celebration, the annual one of the few Disney holiday shows. It's the one that's hosted by Derek and Julianne Hough. It's on ABC from 8 to 10, and there will be a whole bunch of entertainers on there. Some of them I know, and some of them I don't know. Two that I know, both of you will know, will be Michael Bolton and Tori Kelly. They will both be on the show.
Big Michael Bolton fan.
Yeah, he just likes the ponytail.
Yeah, exactly.
Although he lost the ponytail, didn't he?
I think he did, yeah. Of course, on the 25th, we'll be able to watch it's the 40th anniversary of the Disney Parks Magical Christmas Day Parade. That will be hosted by...
Neil Patrick Harris?
Nope. Oh. It's going to be hosted by... country singer Mickey Guyton and
who?
Jesse Palmer. You know who Jesse Palmer is?
Because he's on the baking championships. Yeah.
So that's going to happen on the 20th. And they actually, I believe they've already taped it and they're working on putting it together. So I think they worked on that show, on that parade show, I think last week. So that's already.
Yeah, I remember seeing something online about it. So
yeah, so that's, you know, it's Christmas time. And of course, Christmas in Walt Disney World means gingerbread. And
yum.
Apparently this was done last year, maybe even the last few years, but I was not aware of it. But I thought I'd mention that in the contemporary, the Imagineers have put together a gingerbread display for a tribute to Mary Blair.
Oh, nice.
And it is right near that huge tower that has all her artwork, and it's in the shape of it's a small world facade. So it's a pretty cool display. So anyone who's going down may want to check it out.
I wonder if anybody ever goes up and grabs it, just takes a bite out of these things. Like I think of the carousel and
they've
sneak in there and take a bite.
A tooth, I think.
Yeah, I know.
It's way back and there's a fence.
There's
around,
always
this. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about getting banned from the parks.
Yeah.
You don't want to eat the gingerbread.
I know last week, Chris, we talked about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party and how it really wasn't selling out too well, too fast.
You also said it wasn't very good. So.
No, it was that's the Jolly Woods one. I'll get to that one later. But there are only 4 dates now that are not sold out for Mickey's Very Merry. So anybody going down who was thinking about it, you have the 28th of November, the 10th, 12th, and 14th of December to go see the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party this year.
I love myself some good soapy snowflakes.
Yeah. So. Get some water, you take a bath.
And you know that with the holidays down Disney, things like restaurant prices go up, you know, surcharges and stuff. And of course, we can't have this show go without mentioning Genie Plus and the Genie Plus prices. They're going crazy. You're ready for this multi-park. If you're going to use Genie Plus just for the Magic Kingdom or for a multi-park option, it's $35. Okay. If you just want it for the Animal Kingdom, it's $25. For Epcot, it's $28. For the studios, it's $32. Those are all up. And it's crazy. Lightning Lane prices. You ready for this? If you want to use Lightning Lane for Guardians of the Galaxies, $17. Actually, let me start with the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. It's $12 for Lightning Lane. Flight of Passage in Animal Kingdom, $16. Guardians of the Galaxies, $17. Tron, $20. Rise of the Resistance, $25 for
Holy cow.
a Lightning Lane. So if you wanted to use Genie Plus and you wanted to use Lightning Lane for Rise of the Resistance and you're in the studios, that's $60 above your ticket price to start. So think about that.
Oh my God.
Family of four, $100 for one ride.
Yeah.
Wow.
Plus but the fees to get in. Jeez.
Oh yeah. But the most amazing thing, you know, we talk about all those prices and everything. The amazing thing is that we are seeing, at least this week, Genie Plus has sold out in a couple of days. They sell only so many.
Yeah, yeah.
That's strange.
It used to be free, remember? I would say, Chris, you know, I know you're going after Christmas, but I'm not a huge fan of Lightning Lane, but I would say for Guardians.
Yeah. Well, I was telling Mike last week that we're actually not even going to go into the parks while we're down there.
Oh, at all?
No, we're going to do. So we're coming in Thursday night, Friday. We're going to do the expo and then have dinner on the boardwalk, and then Saturday we're just going to go down to Disney Springs, have dinner there, and then we're going to race, and then we're actually going to go over to the other place. Am I allowed to mention it on the parks? for a couple of days, and then we're gonna, and then, oh. Then I have to fly out on tour, so we're gonna avoid it all.
You're gonna stay there?
Stay
at the other place?
Universal? Yeah, yeah. We're gonna stay there for 2 days. My niece, who is also running, has never been, and she loves Harry Potter, so she wants to do like a couple of days of Harry Potter World. So
absolutely,
yeah. So we figured that would just. Plus, we were like, what are we going to do? We're going to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars for like half a day. So, you know, because, you know, running the half on Saturday, running the full on Sunday, you know, and then we're going to go to Universal. So I'm not going to see it this time around, but we're going to maybe go down and do, like, the boys are both working now. So she and I can just take some time and take a, you know, weekend quick trip down there. Like this past Saturday, I flew down to Fort Lauderdale and flew back the same day. So it's doable. Wow. Yeah, I had to do an event. So I flew down. I left the house at 3 o'clock in the morning. I arrived home at 8 o'clock at night.
Yikes.
It was crazy.
Tiring. So, well, I think it's good. I mean, you'll be going through the parks, just running through the parks.
Right.
But I think it's better if you wait and then really want to go when you go.
Yeah.
We're just trying it. We're here, so we might as well go.
So it's all good. So any other news, Michael?
Yeah, Chris, remember we're talking about the debut of the Jollywood Nights, which is a Christmas party in Disney Hollywood Studios. There were a lot of complaints. Mm-hmm. It was not a good weather night. There were long lines. You had to wait a long time to watch a show, and that took away from the attractions and things like that. And then
didn't Rise close down for a while?
Rise of the Resistance that closed down, and you were allowed to be in the queue only once. And I don't know how exactly that worked, but they did make some changes, and hopefully things will be better. One of the big changes was that they added a slew of characters for meet and greet, which they really didn't have when they first on the debut. They've added Stitch, Jiminy Cricket, Pinocchio, Snow White, Dopey, Mary Poppins, Mr. Penguin, and Duffy. Who is Duffy?
Is that the bear?
I thought it was the bear.
Big Japanese.
Wow.
Yeah, they had him in Epcot for a while. It was like right.
Yeah.
The entrance to World Showcase.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's.
I think it's pretty popular.
He was or is. I mean.
I thought he, you know, was retired or whatever. So that was strange. Unless they're running out of characters.
He used to work in his retirement because he worked at Disney.
The other bit of news that I thought would be of interest to a lot of people, especially my colleague here, Michelle, is that there's going to be a whole bunch of retheming in Disney's Animal Kingdom, especially where Dino Land used to be. And the number one priority is an Indiana Jones attraction.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going
like
to be
the Jones attraction
where Dinosaur is now.
Like the one in California.
I don't know if it's going
to
be
it
like
has
that.
To be. It's the same ride vehicle. It's the same actual.
Yeah.
All they have to do is just put in the theming.
Yeah, you're right. So that's on the top of the list. There's also there's going to be, and I'm not sure why they picked Disney's Animal Kingdom, but with Dino-Rama is, that's going to become an Encanto Land.
Oh.
Yeah.
But what's that have to do with animals?
I don't know, but that's what it is.
The donkeys from
gonna,
snakes? They have to be snakes.
They're going to be doing a retheming of Restaurantosaurus. They're going to be doing that.
It would be better if they shut down the Indiana Jones show and put Indiana Jones there.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right. It maybe belongs there. The other thing I also heard, and this is just scuttlebutt, I don't know how true it is, but at one point Disney was considering closing down Rock and Roller Coaster and retheming it, removing all references to Aerosmith, because Steven Tyler has sort of fallen out of favor with Disney. So that's something that may happen. As far as I know, it's going to continue with Aerosmith as the facade or whatever, but keep your eye on that. And that's all the news that's fit to print.
Nice. Yeah. Well done. So now, of course, you have something special planned for us for this holiday recording.
Yes, I thought this would be something that you and Michelle would like, and everybody out there. So we're
you thought wrong.
Thanks.
hostess, please.
Exactly. Talk. So it's Thanksgiving week, so I think we should give thanks. And I thought that it would be good to give thanks to all the animators who, when they made these Pixar films or Disney films, they included Easter eggs. So I have a list of Easter eggs that you may or may not be aware of. And I'm thinking, if I read off a couple, then after anyone listening to the show is going to go get their DVD or call up one of these movies and say, I got to find what Scopa said. So
should we be doing this on Easter?
Duh.
And maybe talking about the turkeys.
I don't know. Well, I will say, just to preface this, there's a wonderful new documentary out done, produced by Tom Bancroft. It's called Pencils versus Pixels. It's all about 2D animation versus 3D animation. It's available on Apple and a few other places. Tom is the animator from the attraction in Hollywood Studios that they've since removed. He was the guy who would talk with Mushu. I don't know if you remember that one. So Tom is a friend as well. He produced this movie. Ming-Na Wei is right. Is that her name? Ming-Na Wei.
From ER and Star Wars.
Star Wars. And yeah. So she played Mulan. She does the voiceover for this. And it's a really interesting discussion about the changeover from 2D animation to 3 and celebrate some of the Nine Old Men and some of the earlier animators. I enjoyed it. So highly recommend it.
It's a pixel
versus pixels. Pencils versus pixels. So, all right, Mike, let's Easter egg the place up.
So hopefully I have enough of a description so that if anyone wants to look for these Easter eggs, I'm giving everyone the best opportunity to know what's around, what the scene is, and so you can look for it. And I want to start off with Moana. In Moana, when Maui sings "You're Welcome," I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on. If you're looking very carefully, you're going to see a school of fish swim across the scene. If you look real closely, you will see Flounder from The Little Mermaid. So you have to look very, very carefully, but that's number one for Moana. I have another one. And I forget who this is, Tamatoa in Moana. He's got a very shiny treasure collection, but if you look in the lower left of the scene.
The snail played by the guy from Flight of the Conchords.
Okay. In the lower left of the scene, you'll see Aladdin's lamp among all the treasures.
Ah,
so that's a pretty cool thing to see.
You know, Flight of the Conchords.
I think. So this scene where Moana is packing up her boat and everything. And if you look very carefully, I also think in the lower left-hand corner of the scene, you're going to see, this is crazy, you're going to see Olaf's carrot nose. And you're also going to see one of his stick hands. It's like she's packing. It's really, it looks
melted?
Like Olaf's hand. Yeah,
he melted. That's all that's left. Poor thing.
There is a Tangled Easter egg in Moana too. And it shows up when that the island of Motunui or whatever.
Matanui.
Mm-hmm. Comes back to life. And as it's growing, there are things that are sprouting. And one of the flowers that sprouts is the same one that has the magical healing powers from Tangled. Mm-hmm. So that's something to look. I think that's towards the end of the movie.
That's hardcore, man.
That's hardcore, man. That's right.
Yeah. You have to really like stop that one frame at a time and take a look for it, huh?
Now, this next one comes from Frozen. And I want to say that I noticed it, but I don't think I have. But I'm thinking about watching Frozen again so I could catch. It's when the gates of Arendelle open and everyone's walking in. From the left-hand side of the screen, you're going to see a young woman walking in, and it's none other than Rapunzel from Tangled.
What's his face there, too?
Flynn?
Oh, I don't know. All I know is
I think the two of them are showing up for the wedding or whatever. Is that where it is?
Oh, it's possible. I haven't found that one. But it's not Rapunzel with her blonde hair. It's Rapunzel with her short brown hair.
Yeah.
When she cuts it. So that's something to look for. Lower left-hand corner. Everything seems to be lower left-hand corner. This one is hard to spot, but it may be one of those deals where you may have to just freeze the movie. This is Zootopia, and the is she a rabbit? Judy Hopps. She takes a train, and the train takes her through all the different parts of the city, the different districts of the city. She passes through an area called Tundra Town. And it's very hard to see, but as you're looking at the scene, there are two little elephants that are walking as a couple. But if you look very closely at them, they are dressed like Anna and Elsa. That's with elephant heads. It's really hard to see. Mm-hmm. I'll give you an idea where you can look for it. While you're watching the movie, look for the scene where in the background you see a big sign that says Fishtown Market. Right below, again, to the center, maybe a little bit to the left, you see these two tiny elephants. But once you get below the neck, it's Anna and Elsa. Hmm. It's really, really a tough thing to say, to see. One of my favorite movies, Tangled. There's a really, really fun number called I Have a Dream. And it takes place in this bar or pub or whatever. And there's one point where there's one small guy, he's flying around like Cupid. Right. And as he's flying around, there's one scene where he's flying and he's flying like sort of counterclockwise on the scene. And he's to the right of the scene. If you look up to the center on a, I think there's a tree that's growing inside, you'll see Pinocchio sitting up there. Mm-hmm. So that's a little Easter egg. I don't know why they decided to put Pinocchio up there, but that's something that was really interesting.
To delight and entertain us.
Delight and entertaining. Sometimes they will put Easter eggs where they don't think people will see them. But sometimes you'll notice them if you look very carefully. In The Princess and the Frog, just before the title comes up for the movie, you'll see a street scene. And on the right side, sort of upper right-hand side, there's a woman who's shaking out a carpet or a rug. It's the rug. It's the magic carpet from Aladdin.
Hmm.
So that's
something. Falling on hard times?
Falling on hard times. I have about, you know, 85 more. Lilo and Stitch. There's a whole bunch of them in Lilo and Stitch. I found three of them that I thought people would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
When you are in Lilo's bedroom, if you look very carefully, she's lying on the bed, and behind her, upper left, is a poster of Mulan. Hmm. So that's interesting. There is a toy box also in her room, and in that toy box is a plush Dumbo. And the real cool one I like is when they are Lilo and Stitch are walking and they're checking out this postcard stand. And I'm pretty sure I saw this. If you look at the postcard stand, it's going to be to the right of the scene. Towards the bottom, there's a postcard and it's on Orlando. It says Orlando. And on the postcard, you can see Cinderella's castle. I think that's pretty cool. Let's see. In Tarzan, I think everybody has noticed this. You know that song, Trashing the Camp? I think everybody has seen Mrs. Potts and Chip on the table.
Have to.
Yeah. So yeah. That's something that's pretty cool. Let's see.
Everybody a long list of things they are going to have to
and
watch.
We have a lot of homework to do.
Thanks.
Yeah. And I cut it back.
Yeah.
This one I noticed when I first watched this movie. It's The Hunchback of Notre Dame. It starts off like way, way high, and it starts to focus in closer and closer to a part of the city. And you can see Belle walking from the lower left to the upper right, and she's reading a book, like at the beginning of Hunchback of Notre Dame, Beauty and the Beast. Towards the end of the book, the movie, Hunchback of Notre Dame, if you look very carefully on the gargoyles, as Quasi is swinging left and right, whatever, one of the gargoyles is actually Puma from The Lion King.
Oh.
You got to look very, very quick for that. Finally, we're going to go to Aladdin. This goes way back, and I remember noticing this. The Sultan has a lot of toys, and one of the toys, I believe, is like a barrel full of monkeys. Remember that barrel
of
full
toys?
Of monkeys?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he's plays with a barrel full of monkeys, and there was a toy where the monkeys had these arms, and you would try to pick up as many. One of the toys is the Beast from Beauty and the Beast. So that was pretty cool. And the last thing I want to mention is, again, from Aladdin, is that when the genie is trying to figure out how to make Aladdin seem princely, he's going to turn him into Prince Ali. He opens this book, and it's supposed to be a menu for princely persona, we'll call it. And when he does that, all of a sudden he's pinched by Sebastian from The Little Mermaid. So those are some of the Easter eggs that I thought were very interesting. And, you know, if there's one out there that makes you wonder, gee, I wonder if I could spot it. Now you know.
There are so many. There's so many more and so many different other movies. Even the Pixar movies have a lot of Easter eggs.
Chris, I saw an interview with you the other day. And what are the Easter eggs you put in every book? I know you put your sons in. You put Brad in. There's a number that you put in.
27. We hide Superman and Clark Kent in everyone.
Oh.
Hide the next subject. So usually by the time it comes out, the book, the next one has already been announced, so you'll know, but we hide them in there. So
cool.
I've been starting to hide Marty and Doc from Back to the Future in these books. I don't know why. I just started doing it.
Marty!
That's funny.
They gotta go back. The one big one I will mention that everybody probably already knows is that in a lot of the more recent, meaning that the second revision of the Disney animated movie starting with Little Mermaid was the number A113 appears almost in every one of those movies. It is the classroom at CalArts where all the animators would take their animation courses. So you can look in a lot of these different movies, these animated movies there. All over the place. So those are always fun. So
that
note,
thank you, Michael.
Yeah, didn't mention Pizza Planet truck or the ball from
the ball, you know, the lamp, the Luxo lamp,
yeah.
All that stuff keeps. And they have so many things that overlap. There's actually like Pixar theories about all the movies are connected. It's all like one universe. So go online. You can look up that. Some people have too much free time on their hands.
Sounds like the end of Men in Black.
Hey.
Everything's in the little marble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. It's time for tips and tricks.
So I don't know if you call this a tip, but Michelle and I have been talking about something. She brought something up, mentioned it to me during the summer, and she talked about it earlier yesterday. And I thought that it was a very interesting trend that is happening. And I don't know if I would recommend it or say it's a tip. But it just is very interesting what people are doing when they travel now. And I'm going to turn it over to Michelle so she can tell you all about skip lagging.
Yeah. Do you know skip lagging? Skip lagging. Yeah.
I've never heard of this.
Okay. So skip lagging is when you are in your home airport and you want to go to a destination, But say you want to go, you're in New Hampshire and you want to go to Orlando, but a flight from New Hampshire to Orlando is $500. Right. What people do all over the country is they may find that if they book a flight to Miami, which is two stops, Orlando and Miami, that it's $350. So they will book the flight, get off in Orlando, and then skip the rest of the trip.
Interesting.
So there've been a lot of articles written about this. I looked back on, there was one yesterday that I read where the New York Times ethics writer was sort of writing about whether or not it was ethical. Mm-hmm. It is not against the law, but some airlines, of course, don't want you to do it.
Of course.
So we started a conversation yesterday about, would you do it? So the ethics person said, he's from New York, he said it wouldn't even make sense. And that then some other people said, you know, it's a lot of bother. And I guess technically airlines could ban you. They have policies against it. But again, it's not against the law for people to do it. And they interviewed one woman who's a business traveler who said in the last 2 years, she saved about $4,000. So we're just sort of talking about whether or not we would do that or not, to book a flight to save some money where we're not intending to go on to the rest of the flight.
Well, I would
what
assume,
do you think, Chris?
I think, well, the airlines obviously price it just like Disney does around hot times when, you know, or, when there's going to be a time when they could make more money because more people want to go on vacation, you know, the holidays, whatever. So they do that for a reason. And so their problem is that you're working the system. The other part is, I wonder if it's a security issue, you know.
Well, you have to take your bags with you. Obviously, you're not checking your bags.
Right. Yeah. But just the fact that you get off and don't get on this flight and then you don't try, like, you know, makes them wonder what's going on. And right. I understand that part. But
the thing that the airlines don't like is that they would have missed out on that original direct flight from New Hampshire to Orlando for $500. So for everybody who does that, they're missing out on $150.
Well, let me put it to you this way too. I may ask you guys, just in the last day or two, there was an announcement from the administration that they're going to try and crack down on these superfluous fees for different things, including airlines with baggage fees and all these other things. And the airlines came back and said, oh, we've never heard complaints about baggage fees, you know, which is BS. But so, you know, they all nickel and dime you with all of these charges. Why are we not allowed to just go back and do the same thing? I mean, again, let's talk ethics. So I don't know. Do you feel that justifies it?
I think that, no, I think people do a lot of different things for to save money. I know, Mike, one of the things that you do all the time is that you'll book a rental car and then you'll go back and book it again. If the price goes down, you'll go back and book it again. If the price goes down, mm-hmm. You've done that many, many times. I don't really see, I don't know. I'm not sure I would do it because I'm just sort of, again, you guys know, throw money at the problem type of thing. I don't know if I would spend all that much time, but for a family of four who might be going to Orlando, that's a lot of money. 150 times four, 600.
It's also
bucks, right?
Like the family can't check any bags. They got to bring everything with them, which then of course becomes a nightmare.
That's true. But I do see the airline's point of view, but I don't know. I don't see how it's different really than searching for cheap flights to go somewhere. And why is it that a direct flight is more expensive than a, you know, why can't,
layover.
It's the same flight, right? So why aren't they charging $350 instead of that $500?
Yeah. You're getting the same destination.
It's a convenience. Yeah. What do you think, Mike?
Well, you know, when we talked about it, the first thing I thought of as well, you know, you have to, if you were planning to do that, you would have to rely on a carry-on.
Yeah.
I think I could. I always pack like 400% more than I need. When we talked about it, Michelle, I know that I said, well, you know, although the airlines can complain for obvious reasons that we've been discussing, they're getting money. The people are paying for that, if it's $350 or $500. So yeah, the seat won't be taken on the second leg, but the airlines isn't really losing any money, I don't think.
Well, they could lose the money on that empty seat. They could fill that empty seat for the second part of the leg, which sometimes...
Right, but that seat has already been paid for.
Right.
You know, I mean, and it comes down to the ethics argument, and I think that...
Well, their point is that they could resell that seat if you weren't going to be on there anyway. They could resell it, and you know, and if somebody wanted to and they were unfortunately unable to because the flight was booked and you don't show up.
So I don't know. So here's my question.
I'm not one to give like the airlines the benefit of the doubt. You know, remember the bag, the baggage price was because they felt, oh, the gas prices have gone up. So we need to charge for bags for the weight. And they never stopped once the gas prices went down. So I airlines and ethics don't really go together for me. So,
yeah, I'm looking, I just sent you this one of their few New York Times articles, but it says, though it's not illegal, it's strictly prohibited by airlines in their contracts of carriage. And carriers have shown an erratic but heavy hand in administrating the punishment for those caught. For instance, eliminating the skip laggers, frequent flyer miles, and in one instance, suing the passenger. So,
yeah.
So let me ask you to this. Let's say that planes carry 150 passengers. Is it more expensive for an airlines to take the 150 passengers from plane A and move them to plane B for the second leg of a trip? Is that more expensive than just flying them directly from A to B?
Well, yeah. I would think gas prices for two flights are more expensive than one, wouldn't it be? I mean, takeoff and landings tend to eat up more gas.
Yeah, I would think so, Chris. And speaking of gas, I saw an economist this morning talking about the holidays and expenses and everything. And actually, not only is the turkey dinner cheaper this year, but gas prices have gone down. And he said that airfares have gone down.
Mm-hmm.
But so you can make arguments left to right for that. Right. But that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about what is the cost for an airlines to move people from one plane to another to take the second leg versus direct flights. And I don't know how they price
and the baggage.
The flights. Yeah, the baggage, you know, because you got to pay someone to handle the baggage and bring them from one to another.
Hey, interesting topic.
That's if you're
topic.
Changing planes, though. What if you have a case where a plane lands in, let's say, Atlanta? Let's say you're taking Delta, I guess, and you fly from New Hampshire to Delta. You stay on the plane.
Atlanta. Okay.
Atlanta.
Yeah.
And then you fly from Atlanta to Orlando in the same plane. I mean, maybe that's not as expensive as moving John Doe and Mary Doe from A to B.
Another thing that's interesting to me is that Chris is very well read and he's never heard of this before. So
you know what it was? I forgot the name. And after you started to tell me what it was, I got it.
No,
but...
Well, what my point was, like, who might be doing this, not even knowing it's a thing, might be just like, ooh, I didn't, you know, I have a secret way of doing this. And
I mean, that's, you know, it's so funny. There's those people who are all about the free markets. And part of the free market is, like, you know, you go into your local 7-Eleven or convenience store and it says no shoes, no shirt, no service. They have the ability to turn away a customer and make their own rules for their product. And the airlines are making the rules that they don't want this because it's for whatever the financial reasons are. Technically, you should have to follow those rules. So there's that. I just, you know what it is? I follow the rules, but then I always get mad when I hear the other end of the things. Like I said, I get so angry with the baggage fees all the time because the initial reason was the cost of gasoline. And now that has changed, they never came back on it, you know, and they always throw in these little fees here and there for everything.
Sounds familiar. Sounds like
another
place.
I know. That's what it carries over. Like, that's the same thing. Like, if Disney's turned around and said no more park hopping, you know, would you abide? Like, would you find a rule to go around it? Like, I don't know.
Well, based on the video that I saw last week with the guy getting banned, yes,
yeah.
I would follow the rules. I would.
Yes, they're a little bit more stringent. They'll call you out. They're watching you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Interesting. I don't know. I think it's a travel-related thing. We've been talking a lot about it and whether or not we would do it.
Yeah. You know, the motivating factor here, the common denominator is cost, the cost of travel, the cost of making the most of your, what do they call that when you have extra money to play around with?
Disposable income.
Disposable income value, how you use your disposable income, how you can make those disposable dollars work for you. And, you know.
So are you promoting it?
I'm not promoting it, but I'm also saying I don't blame people for trying it, you know, and maybe the airline should be listening. Yeah.
Right. But I would also say, do you want to chance the concept that you could never get onto a plane again for that airline? At some point, they ban you from getting on. So, you know.
I guess I'm just a rule follower. I would.
I know. I do, too.
Rather not have the stress. I'm like, oh.
Plus, yeah, that's the other thing, too, is it's like I'm very particular about getting on a flight. Like, I have to be there early. I have to be set up. Like, I get, you know, travel anxiety. So I sort of need to know that everything is taken care of properly. And knowing that I'm hopping off somewhere would freak me out. I'd be a nervous wreck the whole time. So for my own sanity, I think I would just not do it.
Not that this is not relevant to the discussion, but I did read that MCO, Orlando's International Airport, is expecting on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the Friday after Thanksgiving, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and the Sunday after Thanksgiving, a 20% increase in the number of travelers as compared to last year. So, and they're saying, get to the airport. If you're flying out of Orlando, get there 3 hours before your flight. Can you imagine that?
I will say I flew down on Saturday to Fort Lauderdale. TSA is a great thing. Pre-check. I mean, I was early in the day, and then when I left, it was middle of the day, but I was through TSA pre-check in like 2 minutes. I walked into the airport. I was through. I was in down to my gate within 5 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah, we both have it. There have been times that I've taken a flight and Mike has dropped me off, and I have been checked my bags and through TSA pre-check in 6 minutes.
Mm-hmm. You're at the gate and I'm on my way home.
Yeah. 6 minutes, I'm sitting at the gate. So
yeah
it's a great thing.
Time of the day you go.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And we have a little teeny airport.
Wow. I've got a big airport in Newark, and there it just sometimes it's awful. If you go to United, they literally have to have the line snakes up and down upstairs on the third floor, and then it goes down an escalator to the second floor, and then there's a long line that extends the terminal. And they have to allow you up the escalator just to get onto that snaking line on the top sometimes. Yeah, it takes a while. Wow. So avoiding that to get on TSA is amazing.
Well, even in Orlando, TSA line can be long.
Yes.
You know, it's not as long as a regular line. But
yeah, but.
All right.
All right. So speaking of which, I hope on these holidays you guys have safe travels wherever you're going. And if you're staying home like I am, oh, thank goodness.
Yay.
But so on behalf of the Dean of Disney, Mike Scopa, and let's see what could we call the Mistress of Mickey, Michelle.
Mistress of Mickey.
I know it sounds wrong. That's so wrong. Michelle Scribner, thanks for coming and joining us today. I hope you guys have joyous holidays.
Disney's resident doctor, Dr.
The doctor of
thanks
Disney.
Thanks for allowing me back in. I will give a good report to the FCC.
We're saved.
And the FD, what is it?
FDIC.
The FDIC and
FAA.
AARP, I don't know.
All right, well, until next time, we'll see you on the road and in the parks.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.